Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Everyone, it is the Queen of Spring Francine, and you are listening to Eyes Up Here with Francine on the iHeartRadio Network or wherever you get your podcast. As always, I am joined by my co-host Chad. Chad, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm vibing. I'm rolling. I'm rocking.
Rocking and rolling. I have a flu. So, excuse me if my voice sounds a little muffled. The whole house caught it. We've been blaming a lady that was on the airplane with us coming home from Florida. I don't know if it was her or not, but my son caught it first, and then my husband, and then my daughter, and now me. So it does go through the whole house, but you know, we have a show to do. So I am here, I'm happy about it, and I'm ready to go.
We call that dedication in my neck of the woods, but you sound terrible, and I appreciate you keeping your obligations, because this could have been an easy punch out had we not had somebody scheduled. So
yeah, I think if it was just you and I would have been like, can we like do it tomorrow, because I'm not feeling very well. But I've been like sick the last 3 days, so I was hoping I was on like the tail end of it, but it's one of those things where like the body aches, I had a slight fever, I have a little bit of a sore throat, a little bit of a cold, a cough, stuffy nose, kind of sinuses going on. So I'm taking my meds and a lot of NyQuil at night to knock me out. I'll kick it eventually. But, you know, these things linger. So we have to be patient.
What day are you on?
3, I think.
Okay. All right.
I hope it doesn't last much longer. I talked to my sister yesterday. She was like, well, I'm on week 3.
Oh, geez.
And I said, week or day? And she's like, week. And I said, holy moly, that's a very long cold. So I don't know. Usually after a couple days, I'm good to go, but we'll see what happens. And thank God I'm off this weekend. So we're filming on a Thursday today, and I'm off this weekend. So I could just lay low and rest and, you know, do stuff around the house, hang out.
You got to get these out of your system, because you got a busy spring ahead of you.
I have a very busy March coming up. So yeah, I need to be healthy. So the next couple of weeks, I need to vitamin C up and get ready for the big shoes. We can go over them later.
When the groundhog saw his shadow, I think that meant that it meant 6 more weeks until Francine has all those bookings lined up.
No, it's actually a couple weeks from now, I believe. So starting with March 8th weekend for me. But we, like I said, we can go over that later on. We could start plugging stuff. But what's new in your world?
Oh man, you know, it's I don't know, it's been a fun week. I can't complain, you know.
Okay.
The weather's been nice, untraditionally warm.
You didn't get snow, huh? We got snow.
It was about, I would say, an hour of flakes, followed by sunshine, followed by about 55 degrees 2 hours later, as I watched the Northeast get pounded.
Yeah.
On my timeline. And you know, being a Northeast guy, I mean, I have it still on my weather app, so I was following it like crazy as I'm literally watching it and being like, oh man, you know, like I would love to have that kind of weather here. But I would say 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we were up to 55 degrees.
Wow. We got about 2 to 3 inches, I would say. But then in a couple hours, I thought my husband had shoveled. It was all melted.
That's crazy.
the temps went up. And I feel so bad because I was talking to Betty and she was like, we're getting 7 to 11 inches. And I was like, no way.
Yeah,
he's the one that has the shovel.
Oh.
So I felt so bad for her. I was like, my poor baby. But we didn't get hit, but we had some. So it's supposed to actually, I think, snow tomorrow into Saturday. So maybe, I don't know if there's an accumulation or not, but I don't care because I'm not going anywhere. So these sick people are staying home this weekend, recuperating. Maybe I should make a hot toddy.
Oh,
I don't think.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, coming up on some B-Day festivities for you.
Oh, so, So really quickly, we're going to do a live stream on YouTube. If you go to ECW Diva Francine, we are less than 50 subscribers away from our 10,000 subscriber count. We're going to do a live on Monday, February 19th. What time? 7 or 8?
That would be 8 o'clock, but technically 8 o'clock. This is going to come out the day after.
Oh, shoot. I keep thinking Monday for some reason in my head.
Last night we had an amazing birthday live for you on YouTube.
Oh, well, if you missed it, you can go watch the replay. How about that? You can go watch the replay and leave a comment and wish me a happy birthday. I'm sure it was a great one.
Oh, we laughed, we cried, we blew out birthday candles.
That's right. It was amazing. We did it all.
You won't believe who jumped out of the cake. You won't believe.
I keep thinking Monday in my head. I totally
it's that flu head. It's the flu head.
You know, I guess so. I guess it's all the NyQuil I've been drinking. Anyway, it's like you blink and it's there. I know. Stop.
Knew you all the way back in your 40s.
I can't. A long, long time ago. I can't even. I keep looking to like when I was 20, 21, just starting in wrestling and how young I was. And people keep posting these pictures and now I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be 52. Unbelievable. But I'm happy to still be alive and to be here and to be doing this and to contribute to the world of professional wrestling. Even if it's just a tad bit every week, I'm grateful for it. So it's a good life.
It's a very nice way to put it.
Yeah. Can't complain, you know? I can, but... And I do. I don't want to hear too much.
Right. No, I was going to say, we don't have time for that.
No, we don't have time for that. We have a guest coming on.
Yeah, the iHeart Airwaves aren't for complaining.
No, they aren't, but...
All right, and here we go. Joining us now here on Eyes Up Here. Very, very happy to have him... I'm reuniting you guys 25 years later, writer, producer, director, the man who I have to say, he changed the way fans see the wrestling business behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Mr. Barry Blaustein.
Hi, Barry.
Hi, Christine. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. What are you?
It's been so long.
I know. It's been since...
What year? 1997? Did you?
I filmed in 1997.
Right.
But it came out in
99. Right. And I, you know, it's the 25 year anniversary this year. And that's why we wanted to have you on to just reminisce and talk a little bit about the differences in the locker rooms. But first of all, how are you?
I'm fine.
You're fine. Okay. Are you keeping busy?
Yes, I became a college professor like 10 years ago.
College professor? What are you teaching?
Screenwriting.
Wow.
University.
You know, I wrote two movies.
Really?
During COVID, I did. Never showed anybody. They're in a book. Maybe one day I'm going to show you, and you can give me some pointers, and maybe we can get them on the big screen. But
What do I get to do in it?
Nothing. Oh. Absolutely nothing. Barry, something. The first thing that I found, because I looked it up on Wiki, just to refresh myself, because it has been a very long time since I've watched it. And I need to sit down and watch the whole thing again, because I remember when I watched it the first time, I was blown away, because back then there was something called kayfabe in the locker rooms. Right. And now it's dead. Nobody practices it. With social media, everybody's business is all over the place. You know, when they go to the bathroom, I mean, it's ridiculous right. these days,
it wasn't
right?
Like that back then.
It wasn't like that back then. Well, the first thing I noticed is that Ron Howard was involved in this. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. He and Brian Grazer, who had a company called Imagine, they got the funding for it.
Okay. See, I had no idea until, like, when I looked it up today. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's so cool.
Ron lived in Connecticut. His next-door neighbor was Vince McMahon.
Well, we'll get into him in a second. We got some Vince stories to go over. The first thing I want to ask you is, now I know it in our locker room, I know how the boys took to you. What, in your opinion, what were the differences in the ECW locker room compared to the WWF locker room with your presence with the cameras? Because like we just said, it was like sacred back then. Like, you know, people didn't want the fans to see people going over their matches and the heels and the baby faces sitting together.
Right.
Did you experience any, I don't want to use the word like bullying or hatred.
Hostilities.
I'm sorry?
Hostilities.
Hostility is a good word. What did you experience that from any of the wrestlers? And what was the difference between our locker room and the WWF locker room towards your crew?
Well, there were some who really objected to me being there. Like Sabu was very much against me being there. Mm-hmm. Years later, I ran into him at an autograph thing. And he just walked by me and he said, good film.
That's a lot coming from him. So, okay.
WWE was a little more open. The wrestlers were a little more open. There seemed to be one locker room where had guys who didn't want to be in the movie, which I respected. And the other locker room, they were fine.
Okay. So the one locker room that didn't want to be in the movie would be my locker room, which was the ECW locker room.
Right.
And the more welcoming locker room, you're saying, was the WWF crew.
Yeah.
Okay. I do remember, you know, there were times when I felt so bad for you. We would be going, because it was a pay-per-view. And right. We're going over matches and stuff. You could just feel Barry's presence over you. And I knew what you were doing. Honest to God, I knew what you were doing. But like, I know some of the guys were like getting really agitated. And I was just like, oh my God, I feel so scared for Barry right now. Like, I want to protect him.
Well, one threw a garbage can at me.
Oh my God. But, this is so sad for me.
And then he apologized.
I was nice to you, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were very nice to me.
I think I was. Okay. Yeah, I just remember, you know, the big thing, like I said, it was kayfabe. And they thought that, you know, you guys not being workers, entering our world and our locker room and exposing secrets of the business. Like back then, you did not see that.
Right. So but my goal wasn't to expose the secrets.
I'm sorry, say again?
My goal wasn't to expose the secrets.
What was your goal with this film? Tell me
about it. The show rests. I was really, you know, they said, are fans going to like it? And I'm going, yeah, they're going to like it because I'm a fan. I put things in it that I would like to see.
So the behind the scenes stuff is what you're really interested in because nobody was doing it. You broke the fourth wall back then.
Right.
Which was incredible to see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know backstage was more interesting than what happens in the ring.
Pretty much. Yeah, there's a lot of
this movie basically cemented me pursuing a career of getting into wrestling. And when I ultimately did work for WWE, all I could think about was the opening scene of when you showed the reception area in Titan Tower and the receptionist answering the phone. That's all I could think about was your opening scene of Beyond the Mat. And that's your movie set the foundation for where I ended up. And I just could say, hey, this was Beyond the Mat. Walking down this hallway, like, I saw this in Beyond the Mat. So it helps. It really helped my generation of fans see what it was like and then open the door for what, like with Francine and ECW, how they operated. Because I don't think everybody knew a lot of the stuff about how ECW operated. We didn't know that Paul Heyman produced the show inside the parents' house in the basement with the mom doing laundry right to the side. We didn't know. And then, you know, to hear the stories of Francine going there at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever to do the promo, that stuff we learned years later. We didn't know that in 1999. And you were the one that showed us all that. It's amazing, amazing stuff.
Oh, well, thanks to Paul opened up to me as much as he can open up to someone. And Tommy Dreamer was very helpful. And Bubba Riley.
Bubba Ray Dudley.
Yeah, Bubba Ray Dudley was helpful. And Taz was very helpful.
So let me.
New Jack was very helpful.
New Jack.
New Jack, yeah.
Of course. Why wouldn't he be? Going back before this was even thought of, you said you were a wrestling fan. Were you a fan ever since you were like younger?
Yeah, I never remember not liking it.
Okay, so that, you know, you said to yourself, maybe I don't want to be a wrestler, but I want to make a film about wrestling, and that's how this came to play.
Yeah, what happens is I'm friendly with Barry Bloom, who manages a lot of wrestlers.
Okay.
And as an agent for them. And I'd meet with the wrestlers, and they would tell me these stories about, Jesse Ventura would tell me these stories about backstage and what it's really like. And I thought, this is fascinating. And I remember talking with Jesse, and I'm thinking, well, we're not that different. He likes to go to theater, I like to go to theater. He likes this, I like this. But I don't go home and I don't go to work and pretend to beat somebody up in my underwear.
And in Jesse's case, a feather boa.
Right. And, and I wanted to know, I was interested in the effect it had on the kids, families of these wrestlers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I said, back then it was like taboo. And nowadays, personally, I don't watch a lot of wrestling, but I watch the reality shows about wrestling.
Uh-huh.
And I love watching the wrestlers out of their element. And you were the first one to do that. So kudos to you and your crew, because it was an amazing movie.
Oh, thank you.
It really, really was.
And then I'm proud of stuff.
Yeah, I'm honored that I had just a little tiny part in there, even though I was sobbing. I'll never forget my little part that I had. And you included Paul's speech, which was one of my favorite moments ever. I've been in the sport for 30 years, and that night just is embedded in my head. And anytime I want to like hear that speech, I could just go to a clip from your movie. So thank you for including that. But just brilliantly done. Again, I just, you know, I felt so bad for you and your crew, and hopefully some of us were like you said, super kind to you and don't worry about the others, because they were just, I think they were just trying to protect the business, as they call it, you know. But I don't think you were trying to hurt it either.
No.
You're just
you know, I made the movie for people who don't like wrestling, who don't take it seriously.
Okay.
And I wanted to show them what I saw, how I watch wrestling. I mean, I watch wrestling still, and 95% of it, I'm going, how am I watching this? What am I doing wasting my time?
Really?
And there's 5 minutes of it where I go, this is incredible. How come people don't like this? How come everybody can't see it this way?
What product are you watching nowadays? Are you watching both the big ones or?
I watch both of them.
Okay.
But I think the WWE is under Triple H is changed tremendously for the better.
For the better. Okay. So what were your dealings with Vince McMahon when this movie was being made? How closely were you able to work with him or get to know him back then?
I got to know him a little.
Okay.
I think he's always presents himself as a character. What happened when I started the movie, they were in rough economic shape. And as I was doing the movie, they started getting in better shape. And Vince also became a character on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, he became the character more and more.
Oh, and did you see those traits? Did you see any of those traits behind the scenes? Like as his, you know, his Mr. McMahon persona? That's how he came off to you in real life?
No, I didn't see it. I saw it in business dealings with him.
Okay, fair enough. Because you've heard about the scandal these days, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not gonna make you say anything you don't want to say.
No, I don't know anything about that.
No, okay.
And one thing I was shocked at in WWE was the amount of women who worked there in high positions.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder why. There was a tremendous difference in the locker rooms. You know, I worked for both companies. The girls didn't have hair and makeup people. We didn't have stylists in ECW. Like you saw what we had to deal with backstage. Right. We didn't really have anything. And then I go to WWE and there's like a makeup chair with this lady and she's helping me with a dress and doing my hair. It was like apples and oranges, but I tell you what, I was happier in ECW for sure. 100%.
I think people were very happy in ECW.
We were all happy in ECW until this check started bouncing. And then it got to be a little trying for us, but we still put on a happy face and we still continue to work. Ian, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I just want to go back to Vince just quickly. Did you
I gotta shut off this
phone.
He's a busy man, he's getting phone calls left and right.
You know, I'm sure that's that could be the next call.
Hey,
with Vince, did you have any kind of preconceived notion about him from Jesse Ventura? You know, because you're good friends with Jesse for many years. Did you, I'm sure Jesse might've mentioned him a time or two. Have any kind of preconceived notion going into filming with Vince of what Jesse had said about him over the years?
Well, I knew anyone who runs a business has to make decisions that are occasionally unpopular with the workers. I knew he had a big ego which has helped me. There's a soft side to him that he tried to pull out of the documentary a number of times. And I wouldn't, because he started doing really well with the Attitude Era. And I said to him, Vince, the difference between me and the people here now is that in a couple of months, ratings are cyclical. They go up and down, up and down, up and down. And when they go down, I'll still be here. And those other people will leave you deserted.
Oh. That's so nice of you to say.
Yeah, very. And
it appealed to him.
Yeah, it's an interesting time for you. Sorry to Francine. It's an interesting time for you to be there because I don't think people realize, like you said, you know, you filmed it over a couple year span and seeing it, the WWF from 97 through 99. I mean, when you were there in the summer of 97, I mean, the buildings weren't as big. They were not as filled. And then by the time you hit that Royal Rumble, I mean, the building is packed to the rafters. You know, the pay-per-view buy rate was like one of the highest ones they had had in years. And it's like you were filming a completely different company. So the Vince that you're talking to, who's concussed, who had just gotten his brains beat in by a chair, I mean, I'm sure you probably couldn't even believe it. It was the same guy you were dealing with from 2 years prior. Now, did you have any kind of interview footage with him from 97?
I think most of the interview footage from 97 was in the movie. I think.
Okay.
There's one thing. I was in Sacramento filming, and it was, I think it was a TV, I think it was a Raw. And it ended with a match where Vince got hit over the head with a chair or something. It was a violent match. And Vince walks backstage, and as the crew's picking up the ring and all this, and he has a beer, and he goes, "God, I love this business." and drank the beer. And I said, "That's what I want to capture." That he really did love the, does love the business.
You have to. You have to be involved. Yeah. What were your first impressions of ECW coming in? Were you a fan of the product, or did you just hear about this crazy company and you wanted to include it? Terry Funk.
Yeah, he said,
"Okay,
you got to go see them. These guys, they're crazy. It's crazy."
And how many shows did you actually attend?
I attended like 4 shows.
Okay, what did you think? Because I mean, it's a lot different than what the WWF was doing at the time.
I thought it was great. I thought the fans were great, and the fans and the interaction between the fans and the wrestlers was fantastic.
Right,
it was my favorite place to go.
Oh,
that's awesome!
That's great. I like to hear that. I'm glad you weren't turned off by the product.
No. I was there the night. Who said the thing about it? Crucifixion.
Oh, that was, we just did a, was it a YouTube?
It was a part of, we did a whole episode about angles that hold up and angles that don't. And one of them that don't was the crucifixion.
In my opinion, that was the worst thing that has ever been done in wrestling. That's in my opinion. I hated that so much. And I, as soon as it was done, I ran up to Paul and I like screamed in his face.
Right.
I was appalled. It sickened me. I don't like religion being brought into anything, whether it's something I believe in or not. I just thought it was in really, really poor taste. And that was the first time I ever saw people walk out of the arena and want their money back.
You're right. Well, someone came out and made an apology.
Raven did. And right. Paul had to force him to do that because he didn't want to do it.
Right.
He didn't want to do it.
Angle at that show?
Yes. And we lost the deal with Kurt because of that.
Right.
Kurt was supposed to work for us. And when he saw that, he left. So I think that was good that happened for Kurt's career.
Right.
Because obviously, look at him now. When I think back to things that I am so glad I was not a part of, that one is like first on my list because I would have told them absolutely not. I wouldn't have did it. Just sickened me. I didn't like it. But I'm sorry you had to be there for that debacle.
What a show to be there for.
Yeah, right? That was terrible. But other than that, I mean, I had a ball. We did some crazy angles.
Crazy angles. Crazy angles.
Yeah.
It was called extremes.
It's true. Would you ever make a Beyond the Mat 2?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I covered everything I wanted to in the first one.
Right.
And I don't want to rip wrestling fans off by just putting something together and go, "Here's two."
Right. Is there any chance, because it's the 25th year like anniversary, would you be able to re-release it in theaters or something like that?
That's a Universal call. Universal Films call.
Okay, so you have nothing to do with that.
Right.
You should request that because I think it would do well. I really do.
I think it would do well if it was like a one night only.
But you would have to do it in like all the cities. You couldn't just do it in like New York and LA because a lot of people wouldn't be able to get to it.
Right.
But I think that would be so cool to be able to see it on the big screen like one more time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it was groundbreaking. I'm not just kissing your ass right now. It was so incredibly different for the time that we were in. And you did it. You, like I said, broke that fourth wall and you let people into a business that was so closed off. Uh-huh. And people always wondered what is going on, what happens when they're, you know, going over their matches and what does the back look like and the wrestlers traveling together and who's friends with who. You got to step foot into our world and that was extremely rare.
Right.
And you did that. So you should be really proud because look at all.
I'm very proud of the film. I should do the show every week.
But look at all of the shows that have come. You spawned so many reality shows that have to do with wrestling. You did it first.
Right. And there's a difference between the reality and film shows in my film, I think.
Well, there is, but you set the tone for it.
Right.
You brought people into a world that they're not supposed to be into. And right. Then it just evolved with the times. You know what I mean? But like back then, that had never happened before. And it was so extraordinary and so out of the box. And, you know, as a wrestling fan myself, seeing something like that was mind blowing because you did not see that anywhere else. So, uh-huh. I mean, kudos to you.
Yeah. Vince McMahon at gorilla position in the Royal Rumble. You know, Paul on the steps of the ECW arena. The Rock going over his promo that he's about to go say in front of a live pay-per-view audience. I mean, it's just like, wow.
It was brilliantly done. And it was so rare. That's the one word I could think. It was so rare for that time frame. And so cool that I could say I was a part of it. So thank you for including me.
Thank you for letting me film you.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I just wish that more people could watch it, especially in today's day and age. Right. Like, I just wish it could be released again because I think the younger generation seeing that would get a kick out of it because, you know, now with Vince buying like every tape library there is out there. Right. All of our old stuff is being shown and it's like, it's new. Kids for the first time are getting to see ECW and WCW and early WWF. Right. And, you know, Shane Douglas and I do all these appearances and 10-year-olds come up to us. Oh, the angle where you and Taz did this and you went through the table and you did it. And he's 10. And I'm like, that was 30 years ago. You know what I mean? So they're just watching it for the first time. So I think people would get such a kick out of seeing if we can get this movie trending for the 25 years, I think people would eat it up and they would love to watch it again.
Agree.
Or for the first time. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people have. Yeah, we got to get a hashtag going. We got to get them trending. Barry, I'm going to try to get you trending. Are you on Twitter? Are you on X?
No, I'm not on Twitter.
I'm not
on any social media.
Oh, geez. Well, that's going to be kind of hard. I'm going to try to do it on my own, and I'll see what I can figure out. I'll let you know. But I want people to see this film because it was so well done, and it just captured the magic that wasn't out yet.
You know, it's weird. I've written films that had made a lot more money than Beyond the Mat did.
Right.
Yet I'm asked in interviews more about Beyond the Mat.
What reason do you think that is? Well, for what reason?
It's a cult film that's only grown in stature as time has gone on.
Same as ECW. We were that little cult company. So we have a lot in common, Barry. We really do. Well, is there anything that you want to plug? Anything that you're doing these days besides teaching that you would like to plug? Since you don't have social media, we can help you promote it.
You can donate money to the Parkinson Foundation.
Okay.
I currently have Parkinson's.
Okay. And how? When were you diagnosed?
In 2016.
2016. Okay. How's life been?
Life's been different. I mean,
obviously you're teaching with it.
I'm teaching with it.
Okay.
I don't drive anymore.
Okay.
That's okay. The big difference.
Okay.
And I had an operation this past summer on my brain where they opened it up and put in rewired some things.
Now, so, does that help with the tremors?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, brilliant. Okay. That's great. So if they want to donate, is there a specific website they can go to, or do they just look up Parkinson's or?
American Parkinson's Association.
Okay.
Or the Michael J. Fox's organization.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Barry, this has been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure seeing you. So what's going on with you now?
Oh, I got married about 16 years ago. Two children, and I work, I do this, and we do conventions and we do some shows here and there. Life is good. I like to stay home with my kids, but if they want to pay me, I'll get on a plane and go somewhere.
You ever get to LA?
I have not been to LA in, I think the last time I performed there was like 2018.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's been a while. But if I get out there, I'd love to see you.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. So we'll try to figure something out. Somebody book me in California so I could see Barry. I'm putting it out to the universe. But Barry, you're a doll. Thank you so much for coming on. Ian, do you have anything to add before we let him go?
Just happy to talk to Barry again. I got the chance to interview him in, I think, 2015. Very comprehensive, very long. He gave us a great one, and just happy to reconnect and do it again. It was a pleasure to set it up and a pleasure to talk to you. And I thank you for helping me see what it was like to then pursue a career in wrestling and get to do it. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, God bless you, Barry. You take care of yourself. Hope to see you soon, okay?
Okay. Take care.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
It would be so awesome to get this movie trending. You know what I mean? Do you know how many people have not seen it?
And oh, yeah.
Would pop
yeah.
for it these yeah. things?
You were right on the money. Those people that never saw ECW... right?
Yeah.
That you could basically say, I went to see ECW for one night only on the big screen.
Oh my God. That would be... I wish he was online because it would be a little easier that way. But how do I get Universal to air this? How do we get Universal to put this up?
You want to know something? I swear to God, I had been looking for this.
Oh my God, that looks...
I have been looking for this effing clip for like a week, scanning the movie, not watching it fully. And the second he gets off, I found it.
Oh, no. Yeah, we could have played that for him.
The second he got off.
If for those of you listening, it's my little scene in the movie where Paul is telling me I deserve it or I earned it. Something
you earned it. Yeah, you earned it.
Yes. And I was practically in tears. Like, I was so freaking nervous. So nervous. I was having stomach cramps. Like, it was bad. It was so bad.
It could be a meme of Paul Heyman rubbing your hair.
That's my... Yeah, that part and then us standing watching him say that speech gives me chills every time.
So cool.
It's so cool. Great. Such a memorable moment for me. It meant a lot to me. And I'm so grateful that he put that in the movie. But what a nice man. It's like when you meet people in this sport, in this profession, you meet them and then years and years go by and then you like either do a podcast with them or you do an appearance and they're at this appearance. I'm always like apprehensive to be like, was I nice to you back then? Because you, like he said, well, Sabu was mean to me or whatever, you know, the verbiage that he, and I'm always afraid somebody's going to be like, yeah, well, you were a real bitch to me back then. And I don't think I was a bitch to anyone. Like, I've always tried to be like a nice person. So it's good to hear Barry say that I was nice to him because I'm always worried about that for some reason.
Think about this, okay? Just 25 years from this film and what it gave us, right? It showed us how Vince McMahon created Draws, right? And how they put that character together. It showed us how Paul motivated you guys and how the behind the scenes of the first ECW pay-per-view was put together, right? Showed us Mick Foley and his kids and the emotional roller coaster that his family went through watching his head get bashed in with the steel chair in really one of the biggest matches of his career, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, when Barry was on, we saw The Rock put together a promo backstage with a writer, then bring it to life on the screen. You know, like we saw Jake the Snake's downfall, all those things talked about for years. Basically smoking crack on film and being in the most dismal of dismal independent shows in like North Dakota, pissing in a garbage can, just the worst down on his luck, falling out with his daughter. All those things that have been talked about for all these years started. Dennis Stamp with the weights, jumping on the trampoline, right? I'm not booked. Started in this documentary. It's incredible. Yeah. Terry Funk, the retirement match. How many times have we talked about it? Covered in this movie. Incredible.
It is. And it's a shame that more people haven't been able to see it. And that's why I wish it would be re-released. You know, I just wish I had an ear at Universal because, man, I think it would do well. I know I would go see it. Oh, look at little Spike.
This clip is incredible. He's talking to Spike while his head is gaping.
Gashed.
And they keep telling him to wipe it, and he wipes it, and it keeps bleeding.
He's like, that looks like a hard way to me. That doesn't even look like a gig.
Watch, and it keeps going, because it's so incredible.
Yeah, look how young he looks there, too. We were all so young back then. My God. Amazing. I need to sit down, and I need to watch this film again, I think.
Oh, Coco, beware.
His bird. I'm always saying, oh, I need something to watch. I'm going to watch.
This is a good one. This is
a good one. Maybe this weekend I'll try and watch it again. And but gosh, what a great flick. And it did it. It inspired a whole realm of behind the scenes footage that you were able to watch after this, that, you know, scripted or non-scripted.
Yeah.
He opened the door for that. So kudos to him. That was awesome.
And then we should mention this, right as the film was about to come out, the WWF pulled back and they tried to get it stopped.
Did they really?
And that gave Universal the ability to throw on the screen the documentary the WWF doesn't want you to see.
What was the because they not to break the fourth wall, right?
But it was because of the fact, just what Barry said, they went from down on their luck, business in the toilet, to this mega success that they were in 99.
Well, what made them not win?
They just didn't want to expose
what made them cave and say okay? Did they had signed a contract or something?
They released the footage. They had no ground to stand on.
Interesting.
Yeah,
well, I'm glad it was made. I'm glad.
And ECW was like, take it.
Yeah, we didn't care. We're like, we're gonna be in a movie. Woo! All right, well, let's switch gears a little. There were a couple of things that we didn't discuss last week that we kind of forgot, I suppose, but big story. Scott D'Amore kicked out of TNA, Impact, whatever you want to call it. I just looked online about this because his name popped up on my feed on Twitter, and people are writing letters. People in TNA are writing letters to management that they want Scott D'Amore back. Everybody's upset. What is the reason? Do we know a reason? He's been very quiet. I haven't seen anything about it. I was kind of shocked because here's a guy that kind of resurrected the brand in what, 2003? He's been with them forever, almost forever.
Yep.
And, you know, he was the rah-rah man when the name got changed, and here he is chanting TNA and that passionate speech that he gave. What caused them to pull him from that position?
Well, the rumor was that he made an offer to purchase the company from Anthem.
Himself.
That he had a private, basically a private bid. And a note from a bank that he had the credit to purchase the funds to purchase TNA if it was going to ever be for sale, and Anthem declined.
Okay.
And that basically then he was gone. That's the rumor that I heard through the grapevine.
Why would that make somebody fire somebody? You just don't.
Well, I mean, I don't know. But then I was listening to the Jim Cornette Experience, and Jim Cornette relayed a story that back 2005, 2006-ish, during the Dixie Carter era, he did the same thing with Dixie Carter. He tried to buy TNA during that era, I don't know if it was the transition to Jeff to Dixie, but it did not go over well, and he was gone again during that era. So this is like his MO. He's got such a passion for TNA. He wants it, and he's unceremoniously shown the door, but... Yeah, I mean, the people backstage love him. But
they do.
Until he tells us why, we'd have no effing clue.
So, what was the offer? Do we know?
It had to be substantial if a bank was going to back him.
Wow.
But it's very, people were comparing it to when Eric Bischoff tried to buy WCW before they sold it to WWF. But I mean, TNA is not for sale. So that's the thing where it doesn't make a lot of sense.
I was dumbfounded. I was like, wait a minute. He's been there like forever.
Yeah. And they've got such good press right now too. So this sucks that they've got this going on because they've been doing so well. So this is kind of like a dark cloud they don't need.
Unbelievable. The other story that I just read about was Maurice. Miz's wife. She was now this one scares me. Because I watched a video today on YouTube And she put out a bunch of statements about what was going on. And everything that she describes is what I'm going through with my stomach. Everything that she says, you know, she was talking about, she got an endoscopy. She was seeing a GI, a colonoscopy, you know, what else did she do? She was getting a lot of bloating to where she looked 6 months pregnant. How many times have I told you that about myself?
Yeah, you said that a lot. Yeah.
You know, it hurts when I eat. I'm still experiencing that. I've been waiting. I got it. Finally, I got it yesterday. I got approved for a CAT scan. Now, what she was saying is, you know, they did CAT scans, ultrasounds. Nothing kept coming up. But I think she found a OBGYN. And now she's getting a full hysterectomy because she's pre-cancer.
Oh, wow.
That's frightening to me because, mm-hmm. you know, is that my next step? Do I need to do this? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of hoping I go on Monday. So when this airs, it'll be Tuesday. But I go Monday.
What a birthday.
The girl, she was cute. She goes, well, you don't want to come on your birthday, do you? And I go, I want to get this over with. And she says, okay. She goes, you can come at 9:30 in the morning. So I said, that's fine. But this one is with contrast so they can see, you know, what's going on. And you got to remember, I have that mesh in my stomach too. Right. So do I need to remove that? Like, I don't know. Reading what she wrote, like, it gives me kind of a sense of, you know, I could show my doctor this, but here's the kicker. So I get it done on Monday. Guess when my follow-up appointment is to discuss my results? April 17th.
Oh, geez.
So I have to sit here for 2 months in pain still because my doctor's booked up. Now, I'm assuming if, you know, God forbid something shows up on Monday, they'll call me in to, you know, fix it or whatever. But it's like, really, I got to sit here and suffer for another 2 months? It's so ridiculous.
It's
like
terrible.
Yeah. But you know, I wish her well, and it just scared me because those are the same exact symptoms that I have. I don't know.
I don't blame. I mean, that's, yeah, I saw when your tweet went out about that, and I was like, oh man, that's terrible that you noticed those similarities. That's scary.
The worst part is you go to like 17 different doctors and no one can find anything. It's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, who else do you go to? So I screenshotted everything that she had said in the interview that she did or whatever. And I'm going to show my doctor and see if, you know, if it comes up that there's nothing, then I'm going to show him and I'm going to say, listen, what's my next step? I need to get something done. Do I need a hysterectomy? I don't know. The only saving grace with that is I'm done having children.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I'm good without it, I suppose, you know, but it's scary. It's scary to think more surgery. I don't know. But I wish her well. I hope, you know, whatever she gets done solves the problem. And she can get back to normal because she's a lot younger than me, I believe. Well, she's probably 40.
I think she's around my age.
Yeah, but still, she's younger than I am. So she's got those two little girls. She's got a lot of life to live. So hopefully she'll be okay. Hopefully I'll be okay. And, you know, you just got to take it day by day. So
absolutely. Yes, very well said.
Did you see anything else in the news? Those were the two things I saw that.
I mean, yeah, there's, you know, all the stuff with The Rock and Cody and the Bloodline. And Rock,
yeah.
Unbelievable. And can't say enough good things about The Rock, The Rock, The Rock.
Okay. So, well, The Rock doesn't get to point at the WrestleMania sign then, huh?
All he's got to do is point that eyebrow up.
That's true. All right.
Well, I love The Rock. Well, they say he's going to be the Hollywood bad guy that he was, you know, 20 years ago. And it's just consider yourself lucky, wrestling fans, because it's just the greatest heel. I mean, it's just a good heel that is going to get you like where you need to go. Mm. Enjoy.
Will you be watching WrestleMania? Just The Rock stuff?
Undecided. I mean, I don't know. I think I'm in the class of, and this WrestleMania buildup is really, really like killing the spirit I've got left. My wrestling viewing is going to be exclusive to whatever we need to cover.
Ah, okay.
So,
well, if you want to talk about it, you need to view it.
I know. That's why I said it. Whatever we need to cover. I'm not going to sit through 47 hours of WrestleMania, but whatever we need to cover is now, I think, the extent of my wrestling viewing. Except for that old school. God, I love that old school. I am following a gentleman who has found some footage that is a gold mine of classic stuff that's not really out there. And man, I am in heaven. And that really? That's the wrestling that I love.
What's it of?
It's just old school WWF, WCW, but it's not released stuff. It's like international viewing, you know, TV tape, like raw TV taping footage that you know was only used in the truck. Oh, from a production point of view, I eat that stuff up.
Oh, well, good for you. See, I'll be busy WrestleMania weekend, so I cannot view it.
But, yeah, you do whatever you got to do. You do
I got
your
stuff thing. To do.
Yeah.
Well, let's plug my next event.
Let me pull them up. Hold on one sec.
I just posted it today.
Talk amongst yourselves.
It's going to be on March 9th.
Yes. Oh, I got it right here.
Okay, great. It is the Reunion 3 Cavalcade of Legends. Oh, I'm considered a legend. How great. There's about 100 people.
I was going to say, that's not a cavalcade. That's like a cruise. Not a cruise, but a boat. That's a boat full of.
This is an army of legends.
Look at that. Jeez. Yes.
Me and the Sandman. And Shane will be there as well. And I believe Todd Gordon, if he gets a flight.
Yeah, because he's not on the
ticket. He still doesn't have a flight yet.
Oh, no, he's right there. He's right next to Sabu.
Todd is?
Yeah. I got to zoom.
Oh, yeah, there he is. I see him.
Say, your flu eyes might not be able to see it. It's too far away.
You know, we just appeared. So that's Sunday, March 9th in, I don't even know how to say that, Ohio.
Chicoffee, Ohio.
Okay, Saturday, March 9th. If you need information, please go to my Twitter. It's on there. I drove with Sandman and Todd Gordon to the Wrestling Universe this past weekend and saw so many of the boys. It was great. And got to sit with Just Incredible at my table.
Oh, okay.
So it was myself and PJ and then Todd and Sandman and then RVD.
Oh, okay. I've heard
and
of him.
We did, yeah, you knew him. we did a 2-to-5 shift and they were so great. Next door, you know, off the top of my head, I can't remember what the guy's pizza place was, but he provided all the food. And
well, you were in New York, right?
Yes.
Let me guess. Vinny's.
No, I want to say Tony's.
That was my next one. I was going to say Tony's.
I could be wrong. I can't remember what it was, but he was so nice and so personable. And he gave us all menus and he's like, order whatever you want and told us what the specials were and, you know, brought over the food. And so we were fed and the fans were great. So anybody who came out, thank you for coming to see us. I love these, you know, simple, you're home that evening. Like, I love those paydays. They're the best. You don't have to get on an airplane. Just have to drive, get there. You're with your friends. We laughed the whole way there, the whole way back. Like, it was so great. I loved it. So.
I got to be honest.
I did say to Sandman, before I forget, when his episode of Dark Side of the Ring comes out, he's coming on.
Yes.
And he said, only for me.
Oh. Thank God.
So he will make his third appearance on our show, and he will discuss the dark side of
that. That is appointment viewing. Yes. I have to say they are quite. They whoever did this poster's got to rework it because they obviously have no investment in the talent here.
Why?
Alberto Del Rio is all the way up at the top. Hit it in the back.
Well, he's not really... Is he doing much these days?
You got to bring up... You got to put Alberto in the front.
I don't know.
You got to bring Alberto up. Yeah, that's bad placement by this... Look, I know there's 47 million people on this poster, but...
Yeah, I'm with who am I with?
You are dead set with Baby Doll, right behind the Mountie.
Here I am. I'm not the Mountie.
That's great. It. Hey, you and the Mountie, that's a great... that would have been
we're both French-Canadian.
Yeah, great gimmick for you. Canadian turncoat with the red.
I'm telling you, that's wonderful. That's great. But yeah, there's a lot of people on that show, so that should be a fun time. They falsely advertised me for being in a match.
Oh, come on.
And the guy bringing me in, Scott, he was like, did you okay this? And I go, no. I go, what is this? He goes, oh, it's a match. And I said, does Shane even know he's working a match? He goes, probably not. I don't know. And I was like, no. I said, I'm not working at all. I'm just signing and leaving. There's me.
What the heck picture is this?
This is backstage.
Wow. How is this ECW or is this post-ECW?
It was ECW.
Man, you're young in this picture.
Yeah.
Great picture.
What's your point?
No, I just saw it. I saw it on your timeline.
Great picture. Somebody sent it to me, so I reposted it. I don't know. Yeah.
I was looking for more of your dates.
Oh.
There we go. WrestleCon.
Yeah, WrestleCon. But there's three in March. Let me see. Real quick. I know I'm in... So that's the first one in Ohio. Then I go to the big event in New York City on Saturday, March 16th. And then March 22nd, I'll be going up to Boston, right? Massachusetts or outside of Boston? There's the big event.
Outside, yep.
Okay, outside of Boston. That Friday, Shane Douglas and I will have a virtual with Captain's Corner. I don't know the time yet, but we'll let you know. And then on March 23rd is the big autograph signing that I don't have the name of, but it's in Massachusetts somewhere. I have no idea. He didn't send
me. Oh man, it is
after that.
What is it called? Oh God, it's.
And then after that is the big WrestleCon weekend. So, yeah. I'll get this. Look, go to my Twitter, ECW Diva Francine. When things come closer, I put stuff up. I'm sure Nicholson sent me the graphics for it.
Yes.
And we'll get it going.
Well, he's going to be mad at me that I can't remember it either.
I don't have the info. I'm sorry. But Friday and Saturday, I'll be with him Friday and then on the floor Saturday, signing with Shane.
Yes, you will.
And Hacky Poo. So that'll be fun.
You guys work well together. I don't know if anybody ever told you that.
Some people tell me, oh, do you know who Shane Douglas is? I go, no. Who is he? Did he ever work for ECW? I don't know. Blows my mind. I want to say, duh. So stupid.
He says the same thing. He said, yeah, do you know how many people realize that me and Francine actually work together?
Unbelievable. I like when we're both booked at a convention, but it's by like different vendors, but still like use your brain. They put him three aisles away from me. It's ridiculous. Here we go. I'm going to be at the Wrestling Classic 4.
Springfield, Mass.
Lucky 13 Promotions is bringing me in. And that's Saturday, March 23rd at the South End Community Center. In Springfield, Massachusetts.
There you go.
So there you go. So I need that graphic. Please send it to me. Do I have it?
You got it.
Okay.
It's down the timeline. I had to go back a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll repost that.
Yeah. I'll get it to you.
Thank you. Thank you to Barry Blaustein for coming on. If you haven't seen it, go check out Beyond the Mat. I don't know where you can find it.
Well, you can purchase it on YouTube. But if you type it in as well, there may be another option that you can also click and watch the whole thing.
You didn't hear that from us, but you know.
But you could buy it as well. And I'm sure Barry gets a kickback.
Okay. There you go. Chatster, where are you? What are you doing? Where can people find you?
You can find me here on Eyes Up Here every week, but you can also get me on Twitter at ChadEMB. You can also get me IBExclusives.com. Get My Go on YouTube. There should be a new episode coming soon. And I'll let the Queen of Extreme tell you all about our YouTube channel.
Listen, guys, as of right now, this very second, we are at 9,956 subscribers. We are so close to getting to 10,000. There are people that watch our content that are not subscribed. It is free, friends. Free. It doesn't cost you a dime. So please click that subscribe button. Ring my bell so you get the notifications. And we'll try to go live more than we have been. We've been slacking on the lives. We have to get ourselves in gear.
Yes.
But if you missed it, there was a live last night and it was fantastic.
Blew my mind.
My birthday. It's my birthday.
I still have a headache from it.
Yes, really. Are we drinking on my birthday?
I mean, it's your birthday.
We have to have a cocktail, right?
Go shorty. It's your birthday. My birthday.
I'm going to party like it's my birthday. But please go to ECW Diva Francine on YouTube. In the search bar, just type that in and you will find my lovely face. And click that bell and subscribe. And yeah, I guess that's it. So I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're staying healthy. And most of all, I hope you are staying extreme.